Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. Today, I'm going to do kind of a part two on that, being sensitive to God's word breaking into the present moment. But there's another event that has broken into, well, the lives of the family here at Sacred Heart Radio, and it's the passing, the going home to God of Bob Gunderson, and one of really the founding pillars of Sacred Heart Radio, along with his wife, Pam. I want to honor Bob in the first part of my program, and then we'll continue. Back in a minute. Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com. Welcome back to the program. We're going to begin by reading a scripture that for me is beautiful and relevant to the life of Bob Gunderson and hopefully to our lives as well. Let's begin. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is from Matthew chapter 25. It will be as when a man who was going on a journey called in his servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to a third 1. To each according to his ability. Then he went away. Immediately, the one who received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. Likewise, the one who received 2 made another 2. But the man who received 1 went off and dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came back and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing the additional 5. He said, "Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more. His master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come share your master's joy." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, good and gracious God, you who are provident, from beginning to end, you see all things and you care for each of us, each of those whom you have created. And Father, today I thank you and praise you for the gift of Bob Gunderson, for his life, for his family, for their incredible commitment and stewardship over their Catholic faith and in a very special way in relationship to Sacred Heart Radio. Lord, I pray for his soul that not only would he be saved, but that he would be quickly cleansed and purged from any time in purgatory, and that he would enjoy his reward. That, Lord Jesus, that you would truly have spoken to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you are faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come share your master's joy." And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was just 2 days ago, Ron Belter called me and said, "Tom, I don't know if you've heard, but Bob passed away." And I know that he had been battling a condition for quite a while and had been diminishing. I didn't realize he was this close to dying. And so when I heard that, it was a bit of a punch in the stomach, sort of lost my breath. And I honestly was a little surprised at the emotion that welled up in me. And it made me started to recall the number of ways that Bob impacted my life and a number of stories that really bring out certain aspects of who he is and the impact that he's had on Sacred Heart Radio, not only him, but his wife, Pam, as well, for many years, someone who joined us on Mondays on Sound Insight with to keep the priests in line, to help the priests be able to peacefully participate because I was always at a distance from the priests who were in studio. And so for so many years, PM was a wonderful steward of that Monday program. And she was really the caretaker and the keeper of the book club, one of the popular manifestations of this program is when we do a book club on Mondays. And the number of books we've covered through the years, it makes me smile. And it's something that we'll continue. I've got another book for us to cover, which I'll tell you about not today, but maybe when Father Lewis and I talk on Monday, we'll have a chance to share with you about our next book club. But today I'm going to begin the program. I just want to share with you a bit of my own experience of Bob. And I do so because we don't always realize who it is that we're talking to. We don't always realize the idea of entrustment of gifts and abilities, the entrustment of a stewardship. And that was Bob. Bob was someone who was entrusted with a lot. And yet one of the most impressive, really and truly, one of the most impressive qualities that he exhibited, even better than qualities, virtues that he manifested, was humility. Such an incredibly humble man, and a humble man who had many reasons to not be humble in the eyes of the world. In the eyes of the world, he had many reasons to not be humbled because of the things that he had accomplished in his professional life. And frankly, just his brilliance. So my first meeting with him was the first time that I also met Ron. And I told the story before. I think I've told the story with Ron on the air. It was actually at this conference back in August of 2001. The radio station had only been on the air about a year, and Scott and Kimberly Hahn were in town for a conference that my ministry was sponsoring, and we held this event up in Everett. And I was there, you know, hustling around trying to get stuff ready and all of that. And these two guys come up to me, Ron Belter and Bob Gunderson, and introduce themselves and identified themselves as being from Sacred Heart Radio, and started to talk to me about what Sacred Heart Radio was and what its intentions, what its goals were, and just wanted to connect and talk about, you know, ways that we might be able to support each other. And that was the first meeting. And Ron did most of the talking. Bob was a very unassuming guy there. And it's so interesting that if the only profile, if the only manifestation I had of Bob was just that type of meeting of how he showed up in a way that was not having to be this big personality that was going to impress you by sharing his intelligence or his accomplishments. He was just very humbly present there. And it was only later that I came to know more about his role as one of the early employees at Microsoft and this important role and the work that he did there, and eventually moved on, and how committed he was to the founding of Sacred Heart Radio. But as I got to know him and Pam and their kids better, I became so very impressed at the way that Bob and Pam lived their married life as a Catholic husband and wife, mother and father, and witness of living in this world. The number of times that Carrie and I would talk about them and say how inspirational it was that they were living such humble lives and yet had been so incredibly blessed and were so grateful to God. You talk about this idea of a steward entrusted with gifts. This is how Bob lived his life, as a steward. And I know that because, and I can say it now, that he has gone home to his reward, that in my life in ministry, I directed a nonprofit Catholic ministry, an apostolate, from 1998, 97 to 2016. He was the largest benefactor I ever had. He invested more in me and in my apostolate than anyone else. And it was more than just financial. It was also their commitment to pray, their sharing of insight, because Bob was such a brilliant software engineer, technician, technologist. He understood and gave those gifts so generously at the service of Sacred Heart Radio and helping me. It was his gift that enabled my apostolate to produce this video program that served the Archdiocese extensively called Formation for Love and Chastity. It was something that the Archbishop mandated for the entire Archdiocese, for every parish and school. And I was tapped to be a teacher who would bring around his content to Catholic audiences and schools around the diocese. And it was Bob's gift that enabled me to produce these videos and resources that were used around the diocese. But way more than that, it became a series that was shown on EWTN for, I think, 9 or 10 years. That 9-part series was shown on EWTN. And to great impact, to great effect. I would know it would be on because all of a sudden I would start getting phone calls, voicemails, emails from people who were saying, I just saw you on, I just heard you on. And so the teachings would be aired on the television, and then they would also take on a platform where they would be heard on the radio. And I knew it was happening because, again, for years, almost every summer, it would be, it was like every summer for years, these programs were heard. And that only happened because of the the generosity of Bob and his family. And so what a gift. In fact, they provided the technology that enabled me to first produce radio programs with Father Jim Northrup. So that was all the way back in 2003. So on the one hand, just as a very first story to share, what a gift Bob was to me in my life, that the stewardship that he had was, I had the opportunity to share in it. And I felt such a sense of responsibility to use the investment that they made in my apostolate well. And he and Pam were always so just humble and didn't draw attention to it, didn't want any acknowledgement of it. It was just their sense of, we're partnering with you and we want this good thing, this hopefully this godly thing that is helping to build the church to happen. But story about Bob's brilliance. Okay, so there was a video that we were making, and Bob came along to shoot the video, and we were going into a chief technology officer's office. So a chief technology officer is sort of the top of the executive chain when it comes to technology in a company. And this is a fellow who was brilliant. He was a top guy at Aldus. They made PageMaker that was bought out by Adobe, and just a brilliant computer scientist. And we went and met with him, and Bob comes in again, so humble and unpretentious. He's just there with the camera, and we're going to shoot this video. And I noticed on one of the side tables, there was this little block that had these dots that were like in 5 or 6 columns, like 4 dots here, 3 dots here, 2 dots here, 4 dots here. And the last one would change. It would change the ordering and appearance of the dots. And it was like every second it would change. And I looked at it. I had no idea what that is. And so this fellow comes out, this chief technology officer comes out, and Bob says to him, he said, "Hey, your clock needs to be forwarded an hour for daylight savings time." And he looked at Bob and he said, "In all the years I've had that, you're only the second person who was able to identify what that was." And it was some kind of, it was actually a clock that had spelled out the hours, the numbers that indicated the hours, minutes, and seconds in some kind of like hexadecimal system, if that's even a word. It sounds good. Some kind of dot-based system of numbers. And Bob was able to look at it, identify what it meant, and was able to, in the most, you know, simple, humble way, just say, "Hey, your clock needs to be it needs to be adjusted an hour for daylight savings time." And I just looked at him and I said, "I was about to say the same thing." And no, I wasn't. I had no clue, no clue. So there you have it. A brilliant man, a humble man, a man who lived his Catholic faith with such a sense of commitment to live it well, and so invested in Sacred Heart Radio. Fun story about Bob and Sacred Heart Radio. When Sacred Heart Radio started to do their twice a year share-a-thons, and I was on at that point on a daily program, they asked, "Hey, can you come up and be part of our share-a-thon?" So I came up for the first time, and I was with one of my co-hosts at that time. And so the two of us were there, and we gave Jerry Usher a break. So it was one of those times where he came in person. So it was back in the early days of these share-a-thons, and he was there in person, and he had done the 7 o'clock hour and the 8 o'clock hour, and it was the 9 o'clock hour. So this would be the hour when Mass is on, and they're like, "Give Jerry a break, and we're going to set a goal of $4,000. I still remember this, for $4,000 for that hour. And so I start talking with, it was Lacey, a woman named Lacey was my co-host. She's now the mom of like seven kids living in Montana with her husband. And so beautiful to say, she got inspired to be open to life and have multiple kids by hanging around Catholic families. It was like, this is beautiful. And if God would bless us, I would be thrilled with this. Okay, side story. So we're talking and we're sharing and we're asking people to call. And all of a sudden, people are calling and we're giving our message and we're saying, "Call, come on, let's go." And the amounts are going up. And Bob was the one who, he had headphones on and he was monitoring the computer and that was giving updates in terms of the dollars that were coming in. And all of a sudden, as we're getting through this, we're about, I don't know, 35, 40 minutes into the program, and people are calling and calling, and we hit our $4,000 goal about 40 minutes in. And Bob was started like rolling his fingers, like, "Come on, keep going, let's go." And so Lacey and I, we poured it on and said, "Come on, let's go. Come on, keep giving." And Bob was there, and phone calls kept coming and phone calls kept coming. And we, "Come on, we got 5 more minutes, 4, 3, come on, let's go. Come on, join the mission. Be part of the family of givers. And you're being a blessing by what you give," and all of this. And I thought, well, you know, we reach our goal, we kind of dial it all back. And Bob was just, you know, eagerly and egging us on. "Come on, let's go." He was like a cheerleader there. And I still remember 10 o'clock, we finished. We got out of the chair. I moved out. Jerry Usher comes in. He sits down. He refreshes the computer and he sees that during that hour, we raised $6,400. And I still remember he looked at the number and he like visibly like stood back and was like, what just happened? I just took an hour off and you blasted through that goal. I got just it. And I just remember just like, wow, this was a beautiful moment. And the exuberance and enthusiasm that Bob showed in that really kind of neat moment was for me just a wonderful connecting point to like walking together with Bob and his family in supporting Sacred Heart Radio. And so, well done, Bob Gunderson, good and faithful servant of the Lord. And as he, in more recent years, and his health started to decline, I remember how just in my short interactions with him, it was poignant. They were poignant interactions. Of course he knew and was recognizing his decline as we did as well. Or as I did and others around him, of course. He exhibited such grace. Again, such grace and such a willingness to just be a servant to the Lord and to walk the path that the Lord had for him, and that the Lord was going to use that for his glory, for the growth of his kingdom, for the bearing of fruit, for his kingdom, that all that Bob did, all that Bob underwent was going to be fruitfully used by God for the kingdom. And what is both powerful and mysterious is that line in the scriptures from Matthew 25:21. His master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come share your master's joy." And I have the utmost of confidence that Bob is sharing his master's joy, and the entrustment that he received was great, but in the eyes of the Lord, these were small compared to the responsibilities that Bob will exercise forever in heaven because of his faithfulness. With that said, please pray for the repose of the soul of Bob Gunderson. Pray for Pam and his family. Pray for the children, the grandchildren, the in-laws, and the wider family of Sacred Heart Radio, especially those who knew him and Pam and walked with him so closely and intimately for more than 20 years, Ron and Bernadette in particular, but others at the station and in that community at Holy Family that have walked with the Gundersons for these decades. Pray for especially for Bob and for Pam and for their kids, and for that true, final, complete entry into eternal life for Bob Gunderson. Well done, Bob. Well done. I'm up against a break, and I'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. Well, I gave far too short of a witness or a testimony about the difference, the impact of Bob Gunderson on my life and ministry. And I'm hoping that in the course of the days to come, there'll be more stories and witnesses to the difference that he has made and the impact that he has made in the Catholic community in Western Washington, whether it's at Holy Family Parish or school, whether it's at Sacred Heart Radio, and always as a quiet, humble, holy man of God, a man who pursued the Lord and desired to live his Catholic faith. In this past month, it's been it's been a bit odd or different for me in the last month. had a classmate from my high school years, a high school classmate, a dear friend of mine, pass away in his sleep. And that brings home the reality of death quite, it makes it very real when someone my own age, someone that I knew very well in high school, passed away in his sleep. And then the recent loss, which you probably, if you're following EWTN and Catholic radio, Al Cresta from Cresta in the Afternoon, passed away after an extended battle with cancer. And so please pray for the repose of his soul as well, and for his family members. And then I shared as well last week about the tragic, untimely loss of Brian O'Rourke from the Chesterton Academy of Notre Dame and the Catholic community here in Spokane. And his rosary will be later today, this evening, at Our Lady of Lourdes and at his home. And then there'll be his funeral tomorrow, presided by the bishop. And so that just there are just little inklings to the impact he has made and now he'll make from heaven. But pray for his family in particular, as well as for the repose of his soul. And then now hearing about Bob's passing from this world, his going home to God, his dying, that it really does bring out the preciousness of human life and the not take for granted quality of human life, of our health, of our well-being, of the fact that our life on this earth is a journey. It's we're on the way someplace. This is not home. We relish and seek to nurture and live the experience of being at home. That's the place where we can be most fully ourselves, easily ourselves, are accepted for who we are. And yet, no matter how much we want to cling to that or have that be something solid in our lives, that heaven is our home. We are headed towards heaven. We are on the way, as St. Thomas Aquinas said, and that's a fundamental structure of human life, is that we're on the way. There is no freezing the moment and saying, this is where my life is going to culminate. It's not. Heaven is our home. And so my hope is that sharing what I've shared with you, it might also help you to ponder in a new way, in the reality that we're all called to be saints. And that call to be saint, to be a saint, is intimately associated with the circumstances, situations, and the state in life, meaning that you're called to be married, you're called to the religious life, you're called to be a priest, that God would have you become a saint, God's call, and what God provides for you is the grace to become a saint, right there in the midst of the dreariness, the drudgery, the duties that are part of day-to-day life. And it's not always clear, and it's not often clear, let's say it that way, to draw a line between, well, I'm just making another meal, or I'm washing the dishes, or I'm doing the laundry, right? Those of you that have that call and that gift to be able to stay home and create a home and prepare the home and care for the kids. I hear Carrie talk about this, and Carrie talks about it with other moms, that it's such a gift on the one hand to be able to stay home and raise the family and make a home. On the other hand, there's also that temptation, that challenge to say, how is God making me a saint in the middle of this? This doesn't seem that important. This doesn't seem that valuable. I'm not drawn to this activity. I'm not drawn to doing these things in a way that is, I'm not Mary Poppins skipping and happy and snapping and saying, I just love doing these things. So it can be difficult for a mom that is staying at home to sense, okay, I'm fulfilling the duties that are mine, but boy, this is not easily connected to my call to be a saint. The same is true for those of you that have a necessity or a call to step out of the home and day to day go work and to help provide for the home financially. That is not easy. And especially if the job that you have is one where it becomes difficult and challenging to associate the work I'm doing day to day with God, with faith, with the gospel, with sharing the realities of the spiritual life. And yet, those are the duties of your state in life. God is at work there. God is at work in your being diligent, dutiful, being responsive and performing with excellence and making a contribution to a business or to the community through the product or the service or the company that you're a part of. And doing those things well, doing those things in a way that is marked by the excellence that you can bring to it, God's at work in that. God is at work in that. God is at work in that because that's often going to mean you pouring out your life energy, your focus, your attention, and giving of yourself, right? That act of pouring out oneself, that act of love, is where your holiness will grow. That's where it's going to come. Even if you never mention the word God, even if you're not saying a prayer out loud for someone, even if the announcement of the gospel is not coming forth from your lips in the context of your work, God is there. God is there, forming and forging in you a character that is not only marked by human excellence, but also is manifesting the holiness of God. And in so many ways, that's the life Bob lived. And he becomes for us a wonderful example that God will use the gifts that he's given to you, the skills that you've developed, the abilities that you've nurtured and matured in, not only to provide and not only to be an opportunity for you to exercise Christian virtue, but also that can open up other doors of stewardship, whether it's using those gifts and at the service of the church, or whether it's the provision that comes from you using those gifts in the wealth that you're given to be of service to others. Okay, back in a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. I mentioned at the very beginning of the program that I was going to cover part two of what I started yesterday, which is a reflection on God's Word is Living. You heard me, if you listened to the program, tell the story of reading the scriptures and how God used that to break into the right now moment of my life and speak to me a word that I had read for 35 years, but new insights, fresh insights. There was fresh bread that the Lord spoke into my life. He spoke into my life in a way that was a grace for me. It was a blessing to me. And I was called upon to respond to that grace. I'm going to continue to develop that theme. And I can say that, honestly, today, I've had several, I can think of three distinct moments when I was interacting with folks, not in a church setting. Okay, now this was in a real estate setting, helping them navigate a potential path forward in terms of a negotiation around the sale of a house, in terms of discernment around the potential buying of a house, as well as in the discernment in the moment of, do I make a phone call or do I engage in prayer? And so it's so interesting because the same temptation that I talked about the day before, how I felt this prompting, pray, don't let the pressures, don't let the stress and the burdens of the day that already feels overwhelming and too much, don't let that crowd out prayer. Don't let that drive out prayer. And that's when I ended up reading the scriptures. Well, you'd think I'd learned my lesson. You'd think that I would be on guard. So the next morning, getting up, you'd think I would sort of be ready for this. And same thing happened. It was another subtle but same kind of energy that was right there early in the morning that was prompting me with the question, am I going to pray or am I going to make that phone call, respond to that email, take that next step? And this is really a bit humbling to acknowledge, a bit embarrassing or humiliating to acknowledge that while I did pray, in fact, I felt the prompting, interestingly, this day to pray a rosary, and which isn't striking, but what was striking was when it was happening. I almost never start my day with praying a rosary. Normally, that will happen later in the day when I'm driving or in the evening or both, when I'm with my family or praying at the end of my day, if there's nobody in my family to pray with. But the prompting came to me this particular morning to pray a rosary. Now, my daughter Mary Grace had gone to Fatima and had sent a rosary to me for Father's Day. And it was right there. It was right there on the table in front of me. And it just seemed like there was that little nudge that said, pray the rosary. And what was embarrassing was I was praying the rosary and I had only made it into the first mystery, the first glorious mystery. And sure enough, I got a phone call. And it was this important phone call. And so I allowed that phone call to interrupt my rosary. That was the humiliating part, that I allowed some call, and the call was important. It was an important thing. There was a timeliness to it, and there was an urgency and an importance to the conversation that we were going to have. But was there really any good reason why I couldn't have said, I will call you back in 15 minutes. Give me 15 minutes, I'll call you right back. But for whatever reason, you could call it the flesh, I stopped praying the rosary and I answered the call. I ended up picking up the rosary and continuing it later in the day when I had a ride, about a 30-minute ride in front of me, that instead of making a phone call, I finished my rosary. But this is one of those situations that we're going to face in our daily life, that God's word is living and active. That was the reflection from yesterday. God's word is living and active, that Jesus comes and stands at the door of your heart and knocks on the door of your life. And the question becomes, do you really believe that you will be moving and flowing in the grace and the anointing of God without praying? Do you really sense the let's call it the authentic burden, the healthy necessity, the spiritual must or imperative, that without prayer, I'm fleeing all that is good. Without prayer, I am diminishing or not nurturing my own union with the Lord. And if that's the case, then as I move forward into my day and I'm faced with situations where I'm going to be asked to be patient and kind, to be pouring out and being a godly witness and having space for God to move, where I'm trusting in Him and not in my own resources, how lively will that sentiment be in me if I'm not making my relationship with God my priority, my first priority, my first relationship? Will I love Carrie well if I'm not praying well? Will I love my kids well, sacrificially, and knowing and to discern whether my kids need me to hold them accountable or to encourage them or to support them, depending on where they're at? Am I going to really be moving with God's gracious plan for my life to lead and provide and protect me, and in doing so, to give me the grace to lead and provide and protect my family, if I'm not nurturing that relationship with God in prayer? That God's word is living and effective if I'm available, when I'm available, when I'm asking, seeking, and knocking, when I'm responding to the prompting of the Lord knocking on the door of my heart, when I'm realizing that no matter what is coming at me in the normal course of my daily life, right? If the house is on fire, of course, let me jump up and say, I have to finish my rosary. No, that's silly. That's not what I mean, but you know what I mean. I mean, the daily duties and burdens, those need to be operating at a lower level than the highest, authentic, healthy burden to seek the Lord, to dwell with the Lord, to sit at the Lord's feet, to receive from Him, to speak to Him, to pour my heart out to Him, to cry out for forgiveness from Him, to ask Him to bless me, to be open to receive what He's trying to communicate to me, as well as to fill me to overflowing with the graces I need to face the challenges of today. Now, if that's what we knew happened in prayer, would we really skip it? Would we miss it? And so if we're not praying, then we just don't get it. If we are not praying, we don't get it. Are you praying in the morning? If you're not, you don't understand what it is the Lord has for you, is intending to do for you, wills for you, when you make Him the first priority and give Him that time and are open to Him. Now, I guess it's true that it's not just a matter of you don't get it. Maybe it's a matter of the flesh in us is still a reality. And so there are ways in which it's not just about that we don't get it, it's that we refuse to surrender. We are, in fact, rebels, and we can stubbornly resist Him. There's one of the reasons, I believe, why pride is considered the worst sin, and that humility is the mother of the virtues, is that one definition, among the many definitions of pride, one definition is a stubborn clinging to one's own position, a refusal to be open, to be led or taught or brought beyond our own thinking. And that is so poisonous to us in our call to be docile, to be willing to be led beyond our thinking, beyond our ideas, beyond what we cling to as our own position. That's so important. All right, I'm up against a break. More on this in a minute. Welcome back to the program. God's word is living and effective. I mentioned to you that yesterday I had several opportunities to sense that God was breaking into my the present moment I was in and prompting in me a grace to involve him. And I will acknowledge that the three moments that I saw him at work like that, and those moments all involved people that I know that know me from church settings. So even though in two of the instances it did involve a real estate matter, they were still people that I knew from church, and they knew me as a man of faith. Even if the context didn't have anything directly to do with ministry or church or matters of faith, teachings of the church, et cetera. No, this had to do with like a question of discernment. Like, God, where are you at in this? And what should we be thinking or doing right now? And one of them was a phone call, and I was on with a husband and wife, and we were going to jump right into the conversation. And I just started to pray, Lord Jesus, just bless this couple, bless me, bless this conversation, give us wisdom and insight, help us to know what it is you're asking of us, and we ask for favor, et cetera. And so I said that prayer in that circumstance. The second one was at a meeting that I went to, and this meeting was about promoting a conference coming up on the devotion to the Holy Face of Jesus. It's a conference coming up on September the 20th and 21st, still figuring out where. But Father Lawrence Kearney is going to be flying out here to give a couple-hour conference, kind of mission retreat type situation that is going to promote and help foster a deepened understanding for what I believe is maybe a modern movement, a contemporary move of God, where the Lord is moving us to a deeper appreciation of the Holy Face of Jesus. And it's connected to the Veronica's Veil. And it's a devotion that has a long tradition in the church. I won't talk about it now, but this conference is coming up. You'll hear more about it when I interview Father Kearney in a couple of weeks. But again, we were about to jump into the meeting, and I just said, let's pray, and just started to pray. Now, that was an easier one because it was a context of a church conference that we were going to plan, and just a few of us, and we were in a public setting, but hey, let's pray. And then the third one was the same thing. It was showing a couple a house, and they just wanted a sense of, is this the right decision for us? So I just, let's pray. And so I just prayed with them right there, and it was a very natural thing to do. It was an easy thing to do. So I share that with you because I'm going to bet that there are people you know and situations that you know that do involve an opportunity to include God in prayer. And you might sense a little prompting that's saying or nudging you to not just rely on your own wits, wisdom, experience, and it might extend you into a situation where it's a little bit more uncomfortable. It's a bit foreign. And so the idea of introducing prayer in a moment like this, this just doesn't happen. This is not how I operate. Well, guess what? In all those circumstances that I prayed, it was the most natural thing, and they were very appreciative and all of that. So I think it's a matter of, it's foreign to us. It's not known. It's not a common thing for us. And so we feel awkward. And maybe, again, if Tom, are you saying that I'm supposed to do that? Well, yeah. But I want to do this in the time that remains. I want to give an example for a husband praying for his wife, because this is something you can do. Now, wives, you can imagine praying for your husband. I'm going to pray for my wife. I'm going to pray for her right now. I felt prompted to do that. I'm going to pray for Carrie. And this is exactly what I mean, that the word of God is living and effective. It's active, sharper than any two-edged sword, that the Lord will cut through, and he will unveil, expose your own heart and move you to take an action. And really the question is, are we going to follow that prompting? If we're not praying, we won't sense the promptings. If we're not praying, when we sense the promptings, we won't take an action. We may not know the right action to take, and then we won't take the action. And so prayer at the beginning of our day is going to set us up for a heightened sensitivity to those moments of nudging and the graciousness to know what it is we're called to do, and then the strength to do it. And so right now I'm sensing that I'm supposed to set an example. And so setting an example for you live, not just telling you about these other examples, but doing it for you now live. I'm going to pray for Carrie. I know that I'm talking to a whole bunch of husbands who have wives, and you may never have prayed for your wife out loud with her. And you can amen my prayer for the position that I'm going to take as a husband praying for my wife. Same thing, wives. You can imagine this is a prayer that you'll pray for your husband. And this is one of those things that just remember, if it's too difficult for you to do it with them in person, you can always pray for them in private. You may, what in fact might help you pray with them in person is a daily commitment to pray for them in private. The more that you're praying for them out loud in private, and I say out loud, it might just be in your own head, you pray for them out loud in private, you will sense this, yes, and it can overflow more naturally when you're in a situation of praying with your wife in person. So let me stop talking about it and do it. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, I thank you and I praise you for the gift of my spouse. And I ask, Father, in Jesus' holy name, I ask that your Holy Spirit would guide me in my prayer, anoint me. But even more, I ask for rich blessings to be poured out upon my spouse. I ask that you would pour into my spouse every good gift that my spouse needs right now to lead and provide and protect my spouse in accord with your purpose and will. I ask, Lord, that you would lead my spouse further into your heart, Jesus. Lead my spouse further into places of healing, places of unbinding and setting free. Lord, you know those secret places in my spouse's heart where my spouse is held back, where my spouse is carrying heavy burdens, where my spouse is feeling challenged right now. Please pour forth a healing balm, a light of meaning and mission. Lord, I pray for my spouse, not just leading, but providing. Lord, provide every good gift. Fill my spouse's heart to overflowing. Fill my spouse's heart's desire. Stand with my spouse's heart and life in every dimension at my spouse's point of deepest need. And Lord, I pray a prayer of protection. Jesus, may your precious blood wash over and cover my spouse in every entry point, any place of bondage, of a foothold or a stronghold of the enemy in my spouse's life. I pray for a severing. I pray with authority to sever and disconnect any spiritual attacks, any spiritual attachments, any darkness that is hovering my spouse right now. I pray that it would be washed away, washed away. I thank you, Jesus, for your providential care, your shepherding care in the life of my spouse. And I ask, Lord, that you would go beyond my limited thinking, my limited understanding, my own brokenness in my own prayer to hear the cry of my heart for being filled to overflowing, for my spouse to know my spouse's identity in you and to fill my spouse's mission in life. Lord, do that and so much more beyond what I could imagine. Shock my spouse and me with your generosity in what you do and in how you do it. And I ask that you would do it now. I ask that it would, that your word, Jesus, would be living and effective and break in, break open, break through, and speak to my spouse's heart. A word of comfort, consolation, conviction, and life. I make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. What did I do? I just prayed for Carrie. Now I kept saying my spouse. I think you know why. I was attempting to be a platform for you in your prayer. So I didn't say my wife. I said my spouse, so that wives could be praying that prayer for their husband, husbands for their wives. That's God's word at work in me, coming through me. I hope that was a blessing. God bless.